Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, going to be intervals of clouds and sun, looks like. We'll have a high, well, maybe close to 44 degrees. We check things out temperature-wise. In Kenosha, it is 40 at this hour. It's 38 in Burlington. Milwaukee, 40, also 40 degrees in Racine. The Racine Unified School Board, without discussion, unanimously approving the staff-recommended transfer of ownership of the former Olympia Brown Elementary School site on Erie Street to Inspired Real Estate Development for $900,000 versus the estimated $1.8 million total for the district to tear it down and clean up the site, then market the property for sale. The only thing said about it came during public comments from David Wagner, representing Caledonia Village President Jim Dobbs, and Administrator Tom Christensen. He asked the board, please wait.
Discussions have been held regarding the sale of the Olympia Brown School site, and the village has an interest in being a partner in that.
He said the village was seeking the postponement for further review of the two proposals received.
To allow time for further vetting cooperatively with the district of the two proposed redevelopments. And the second is to consider, for the village to consider, its funding options to make sure that this in no way means that RUSD realizes less proceeds than they would with one proposal versus the other.
He said that told the board that the site could be factoring into Caledonia's future. Now, by the time the school board got around to actually voting for the site transfer, the Caledonia board either had already discussed in closed session or was in the process of doing so that particular issue, along with the former nearby Western Publishing Company building, both considered potential development locations by village officials. A resolution in support of a bill that targets companies that do not pay the workers the wages they have earned got adopted by the Kenosha City Council last night. Senate Bill 371 is sponsored by Kenosha Racine State Senator Bob Wirch. It's aimed at ending what is known as wage theft. Marietta Huff telling Alderman she helped a man to get a job at driving him to work every day, but he quit after a month when he realized he wasn't going to get paid.
They told him that it was a two-week cycle for his paycheck, and so he was not to expect to get any money for 2 weeks. And then they told him it would be a week to do the processing, so he wouldn't get his paycheck till the third week. And after a month, he figured out he wasn't going to get paid. Some people there were getting paid, but he was new and he was expendable, and so he didn't get paid.
Alderman Anthony Kennedy, sponsor of the resolution, said that there are many ways that workers don't get paid for the work they do. The resolution in support of the wage theft bill was unanimous. The Burlington Common Council, first in committee of the whole at 6:30 p.m., then during its regular business meeting right afterward, will take up separation agreements for three dispatchers affected by the flood-prompted switch to the county's joint dispatch operation. The agreements take into account years of service for each of three women and include salary continuation pay, as well as the city paying part of the cost for continued health coverage through February. Colleen Schwackert has been a Burlington dispatcher since March of 1996. The severance payment for her is listed at more than $16,000. It's a little more than $10,000 for Laura Gatto, hired in June of 2004, and about $1,400 for Nadine Bogus. She joined the dispatching group in March of 2016. The Racine County Board will meet at 6:30 this evening at the Isgrove Office Building in the basement, and among the items on the agenda, second reading of the resolution in support by the Executive Committee for the county joining a lawsuit of counties against the makers of opioids. There's also a resolution that calls for a three-year agreement with Milwaukee County for autopsy and related services, and both first and second reading of a resolution authorizing creation of a public safety system administrator as of the first of the year, that for handling day-to-day operations. Well, the latest Wisconsin Realtors Association report on existing home sales for the Southeast region shows a 2.2% sales increase for November, a 5.9% rise in median prices, while sales through the 11-month period averaged just under 1% increase, but the median price is also up 5.7%. Here it is, signed on the breakdown from WRJN's Janet Hoff.
A closer look at this area shows Kenosha County's November sales up 6.1%. With a 6.5% drop in Racine and a 5.4% increase for Milwaukee, Ozaukee County led the way with an 11% sales boost for the month. Year-to-date, home sales in Kenosha are down 4.4%, with a 1.8% increase for Racine County and a 2% rise in Milwaukee. The leader is Walworth County with a 6.5% sales increase. Median prices for November rose 5.9% in Kenosha County, 10.3% in Racine County, and 5.6% in Milwaukee. Number one was Ozaukee, with a 21.7% price increase through sales. The year-long average is a 10.6% rise in Kenosha, up 5.4% in Racine, and 6.4% in Milwaukee. Janet Hoff, WRGN News.
New survey out from the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce that says nearly three-quarters of Wisconsin business leaders who were surveyed approved to some degree of the generous economic package that the state gave to Foxconn. 30% strongly supporting it, and 43% somewhat supporting it. 15% of the respondents opposed the financial package to Foxconn. 10% unsure. 2% who were surveyed did not respond. 31 of the executives did add some comments, but WMC did not release those. In the meantime, finding workers to staff their own companies, one of the key concerns of those who were polled. 4 out of every 5 executives surveyed, about 80%, said they've had a tough time finding the employees they need, up from 70% a year ago, which makes it a top public policy issue facing Wisconsin. The majority of the executives, 51%, said that healthcare concerns ranked second at 20%. There have been some partnerships over the years between Racine Unified and segments of the business community. It's reached a new level, apparently, thanks in part to the High School Academies program and other efforts by the district to get students educated and ready for what lies ahead with their futures. Superintendent Lolly Haas noting S.C. Johnson's $9,000 donation to the three main high schools tied into the 4th Fest Parade coming up in 7 months for an entry promoting the academies.
Case, Horlick, and Park will each receive $9,000 from SC Johnson to build a 4th of July float. Go to the parade and see some fabulous roads. You can do a nice float for that kind of money, and we really appreciate SC Johnson donating that money. And each of the floats are supposed to emphasize the academies of Racine in some way. So we'll see what they come up with.
Dr. Haas also said SCJ is preparing to fund a very large community-wide endeavor for kids in all of the schools, both public and private, that'll focus in on the story of a child and his medical problems in the book that's titled Wonder. Deputy Superintendent Eric Gallion said that the SCJ is partnering with the district in over 5 years to emphasize literacy needs, and starting with the book Wonder, which has been made into a movie. It's also tied, though, into a related curriculum. Among the other donations, Dr. Haas said Pittsburgh Paint and Glass at Oak Creek, more than $14,000 toward efforts at the three RUSD high schools. And noting that donations to the school district have come from all across the community, Haas told the board, quote, "As I look toward the sunset of my time here in Racine, it is the one thing I am most proud of. We have partners in all of the work that we do." It was an effort to beat the clock, if you will, on a new state law to prevent it starting up in 2018. Couldn't do it as of that point, but the Racine Unified School Board last night did approve 3 performance contracts and the related energy efficiency tax levy to go along with that, completing HVAC work at Mitchell School, the older part of Frat, and a section of the Community Pathway site. Chief Financial Officer Mark Duff saying it's just like the other such contracts they've done with Train and Johnson Controls.
Included in the resolution are the debt service schedule. These will be reported to DPI as part of our energy efficiency levy authorization. And also we'll have subsequent reporting of how the performance contract worked in saving energy, the energy savings related to the project, and how it will reduce the tax levy that's being authorized.
Raymond James and Associates, out of 8 bidders to underwrite the bonding for the work at an interest rate of 3.06% for 20 years, the district getting a AA3 bond rating from Moody's. At the Mount Pleasant Village Hall tonight at 6:30, there is a zoning public hearing on a request to put a school into a former fitness center at 1320 Warwick Way. Proposal is by Stratton Educational Corporation seeking to rezone that site so that an overlay zoning designation of institutional and public service can be added on top of the current B2 for community business. The meeting notice says the applicant wishes to use the overlay zoning to allow public and private schools on the parcel. The Mount Pleasant Plan Commission will take up that rezoning at its 1 p.m. meeting on Wednesday, also at the Village Hall. Well, Kenosha Alderman got an update last night on the city's trap, neuter, and release program for feral cats from the chair of the Safe Harbor Humane Society's board, 6 months after that program was approved. Bill Bowman said that just over 50 feral cats have gone through the program, which involves trapping them and bringing them to the shelter, where they are then neutered, then released, and a local volunteer in the neighborhood is designated as the cat's caretaker. He said only two eared tipped cats have been returned to the shelter, both re-released and then their caretakers urged to contact their neighbors.
Again, both of the people that had the cats picked up and brought in had no problem with the cats. They were perfectly happy to let the cats be released again. And so we explained to both of these caretakers that let your neighbors know about these cats, that they're being taken care of. And in these cases, we've actually enlisted sort of a second caretaker for these cats. Now, we know there's another community person that's concerned with them.
He told the council the shelter got about a $2,000 grant this year for the program. He's expecting more will become available next year, now that there are statistics to share. The Racine Public Library's mobile library, or the bookmobile, if you will, is going to be out of service through January 3rd. A notice from the front office at the library says there are a few safety issues that have to be dealt with, and it's getting normal service, so at the same time, they're taking care of that. Because of that, bookmobile due dates have been extended a little after it is back into service, which again is listed for January the 3rd. If you have any questions, call the library's circulation desk at 262-636-9241. And of course, today is the primary election in the Assembly on the Democratic side. Two Democratic candidates vying for the right to replace Corey Mason as the representative in the 66th District. Whoever's chosen today will probably have that job because there is no Republican for the general election next month. Again, the polls will open as they normally do, and this is only for the 66th Assembly District representative. And people affected by that will be able to vote. Anybody else who's not represented in the 66th district would not be allowed to vote. But otherwise, the polls open at 7. They'll close at 8 o'clock tonight. WRJN News will tweet out what's going on, what happened with the results. But in the meantime, if you need a ride to the polls today, you can contact the Racine Interfaith Coalition. Their phone number, 635-9532. 635-9532. Again, that's for the primary, the Democratic primary, the special election for the 66th Assembly District. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.
That's